Today is the auspicious day of the Vyas Puja observances of Srila Bhakti Pramod Puri Goswami Maharaj. This is only the second or third time that we've been here in Govindaji Gardens at this time of year, because usually every year we would be in Mayapur at the Vyasa Puja of Srila Puri Maharaj, or in Jagannath Puri at this time of year, every year for quite a few years, maybe 4 years, maybe 5 years, I don't remember. But we were always there at this time of year. Now the Vyasa Puja of Srila Puri Maharaj is celebrated in many places in the world, but their main celebration observance is at Dauji Temple in Vrindavan. Srila Puri Maharaj has a temple there known as Dauji. Dauji means the older brother of Balaram. There's the deity of Baladev in their temple. Very old deity. Have you been to that place?
Yeah.
Some of you have been to that place. Very nice temple of antiquity in Vrindavan. So today Bodayan Maharaj and the many disciples of Srila Puri Maharaj are gathered there for the Vyasa Puja. There is also a published Vyasa Puja book for Srila Puri Maharaj, but it will not be released until the end of Kartik at the Tirubhav. Tirubhav means the Samadhi observance. So I mentioned there is a Vyasa Puja book which is published for Srila Puri Maharaj every year, but it comes out at the end of Kartik at the time of his Tirubhav. So Kartik Vrata starts in just a few days. On this coming Purnima, something like 2 weeks from now. So Srila Puri Maharaj's appearance in this world was in the year 1898. No, there were three in a row. Srila Sridhar Maharaj was born in 95. Srila Prabhupada was born in 1896. And Srila Puri Maharaj was born in 1897. I'm pretty sure. Anyway, but it may be 1908. You can look and clarify that for us. It should be mentioned here somewhere. Then, his disappearance was 102 years later. At the end of Kartik, next to the last day of Kartik. And he was residing in Jagannath Puri at that time. Jagannath Puri is known as the Vipralamba Dham, the place where the Lord and his devotees feel intense separation. Jagannath himself feels great separation for Vrindavan. That is why he looks the way he does. There is one story that the man came, Vishvakarma, or someone, came for carving the deity of Jagannath for this king, Indradumna. So there was some agreement between the Shilpi and the king that he should not look at the work as it is going on. And one big piece of wood they found in the sea. A special log appeared in the sea at that time. And no one could carve this. This wood was so hard, whoever attempted to carve the wood would break their hammer and chisel. So then finally Vishvakarma came from Swargaloka or somewhere. He came. And this arrangement was made. He would carve the deity of Jagannath, Subhadra, and Baladev. But the king should not look. So every day the king would hear this sound of tack, 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 cutting the wood, beating the hammer and all these things. They would hear that. And the work is going on. Then one day there was no sound. And for many hours or some time there was no sound. The king became very anxious. Something has gone amiss. There's no sound. He could not resist. He opened the doors. As soon as he opened the doors, this Vishvakarma just vanished, went back to the heavenly planets. and the story says, left the work incompleted. He had not finished the work of Jagannath, carving the deities. But Indradumna accepted, everything is done by the arrangement of Krishna, everything is the arrangement of the Supreme. Oh, what is carved here, what is made here, that is accepted, and the worship of Jagannath began. So one story is, that is how the shape of Jagannath appeared. However, there is another incident, and it is the most original incident, how this shape of Jagannath appeared. What do you see about Jagannath which is most prominent? There came the flowers.
Yeah.
The eyes. Okay, so you take care of the flowers. The eyes of Jagannath, they're most big and you see them most prominently. Well, why the eyes are so big like that? Because once in Dwarka, there was a conversation going on between some of the members of the Yadu dynasty, and they were discussing about Vrindavan. They were discussing about the residence of Vrindavan. And Krishna, Dwarka Krishna, was in another room, and he overheard the conversation. They're talking about Vrindavan. That is my old playground. All my old friends are there. My mother, Yasoda, my father, Nanda Maharaj, all my cowherd boyfriends and cowherd girlfriends. And my Radharani is there in Vrindavan. All these things are there in Vrindavan. And then Krishna and Dwarka, he fell into a lovesick mood. Lovesick mood. And that mood was so deep, it became trance. It became trance. What happens if you see something very beautiful, very wonderful, you go, wow. You say, wow, and your eyebrows go up. You remember something that's very wonderful. Your eyes go up. So Krishna's eyes went up like this big. They became like this big. And his body became hard as stone, hard as wood. And he became very rigid like this. His arms went like this. And he just fell on the ground. And he was in frozen mode. Frozen condition. And eyes were huge. When he fell over, he made a noise. Some noise was heard. In the next room, Baladev suddenly entered Krishna's quarters. Baladev. And seeing the condition of his brother, he is also from Vrindavan. And seeing Krishna in that deep trance of remembering Vrindavan, that's called Vipralamba, separation. He's feeling the separation and the memory of Vrindavan. Do you follow? That has caused him to take that form, ecstatic form. And Balaram also, by association of Krishna's samadhi, Krishna's trance, Baladeva also entered that mood, and he fell over. At that time then, Subhadra, the sister of Balaram and Krishna, she also entered the room. So she's one of the first persons there in Vrindavan, in the appearance of Krishna. She is there from the very beginning. So she is also then caught in that Vrindavan mood. She also entered this trance, and she fell unconscious. So the three, Krishna, Subhadra, and Baladev, they're lying there unconscious. Then everyone else rushed into the room to see this. So gradually, they were able to revive them one by one. Lastly, they were able to revive Krishna. But that's the original form of Jagannath, Subhadra, and Baladev, how it first came in the world. Due to the feelings of separation, for Vrindavan, they experienced this mood, Vipralamba. You may say also, Vipralamba Mahabhav. This great feeling of separation and love for Krishna, Krishna's love for his devotees and Vrindavan. So, since then till now, since Jagannath Temple was there, everybody and anybody worships Jagannath. I mean, everybody. The Mayavadis worship Jagannath. the Buddhists, they worshipped Jagannath for centuries and called him Lord Buddha. The Buddhists. India has been ruled over the ages by different types of people. Sometimes the gross materialist, they're worshipping Jagannath. Maybe more now. Maybe many materialists. Or in the past, different types of materialists, they worship Jagannath. The Buddhists worship Jagannath. The Mayavadis worship Jagannath. Just about everybody you can think of. Ramanujas. Ramanuja went to worship Jagannath. Everybody worships Jagannath. But very few people understand the mood of Jagannath. What is the mood of Jagannath? He is known as Jagannath, Lord of the Universe, Ishwar, Bhagavan, and all these things. He holds Shankachakra also. But what is his mood? When Mahaprabhu, he saw Jagannath for the first time. He entered Jagannath Puri. He came to Puri. He came in advance of the rest of the party. He got in the Jagannath temple and he saw Lord Jagannath. What happened? He also fainted and fell into the same ecstatic mode as Jagannath. He fainted. Almost, for the most part, all the life gone out of his body, so to speak. Although the life cannot go out of Mahaprabhu's body because his life and his body are not different. He is not a soul in a body. Those who have spiritual bodies, that is a different thing. We are soul in a body. Life can leave this body and a dead body. But the life cannot go out of Mahaprabhu's body. He has a transcendental body. There's no difference between transcendental body and soul, Atma. They are one and the same thing. But there are no transcendental bodies in this world. In this Mrityu Loka, we get body and soul. The two are joined, right? But in the spiritual world, it's not a soul and a body. It's the body of the soul. The soul has its own body. The Atma has its own body. And Krishna also has his own body. We discussed the other day. Who's the Paramatma of Krishna? Radharani is the Paramatma of Krishna. Krishna is the Paramatma of Radharani. That's another plane. That's another thing. That's another world. Another circumstances. So, but to the mortal eyes, it seemed like the life of Mahaprabhu was gone. And he became very stiff. When he would fall into these, into his trances, his body also would become hard like stone, like wood. It would become very hard, very, very intense. And his breathing would stop. So when he saw Jagannath, he also entered into that mood, that deep mood. The separation from Vrindavan. So, Jagannath Puri is called Vipralamba Dham because the Lord Himself is seated there as Jagannath and He is in His mood of separation from Vrindavan. And yearly that Rath Yatra festival is held and everybody sees it on TV, but the purport of that Rath Yatra festival is not knowable to the common people, is not knowable to the Doordarshan narrator. Neither is it proper for any knowing type person to come on the television and try to inform the masses of people what is the real play of Jagannath on this day. For most people, it appears just to be a big fun festival, with a lot of crowds and a lot of excitement. And for the most part, that's what it is for most people. But for the followers of Mahaprabhu, the festival of Jagannath has a special meaning. And that is that Lord Jagannath is returning to Vrindavan. The gopis and others who met him at Kurukshetra, by their affectionate attachments, they are drawing Krishna back to Vrindavan. And he is seated on the chariot in a trance, and he is going to Vrindavan. The chariot goes to this place called Gundicha. Gundicha is Vrindavan in Jagannath Puri. You follow? So it is Vipralamba Dham. The Lord is there in Vipralamba mood. Mahaprabhu lived there for, it was his base of activities for 24 years. And six of those years, He moved in and out of Jagannath Puri, which included coming to South India. And touring South India and also going back to Koladweep in Mayapur, Navadweep. Also going to Vrindavan, preaching in Benares along the way. 6 years like this. 6 years he spent residing in Puri performing Sankirtan Leela with his devotees. Daily he performed the Sankirtan pastimes, observed the different festivals celebrated for the deities there, various types of festivals. He observed them with his devotees, Rath Yatra, also the boat festival. They sometimes played dramas and leelas. They would perform various types of dramas. Mahaprabhu would see these dramas. Sometimes he would take part in them. In this way, he was very much amongst the people for 6 years. 6 years traveling in and out of Puri, and 6 years he stayed in Puri, very much amongst the people and amongst his devotees. Then came the last portion of Mahaprabhu's pastimes, that is 12 years, and that is known as his Vipralamba Leela. And he himself entered into the guha. Guha means a cave. He entered into the cave of these feelings of great love and separation for Krishna. And they were then manifest in him both day and night, non-stop, for 12 years continuous. 12 years. And during that time, Mahaprabhu was more or less a little distance from the people. He was not seen. When he was seen in public, it was quite an amazing thing. Why? Because the public could not understand what is the deep mood of Mahaprabhu. Like once, there was this man. He was a fisherman. And Mahaprabhu had fallen down in the ocean. There were no devotees around. He had fallen in the ocean. The ocean in Puri has a very strong current. If you jump in the water here, within 10 minutes, you're 50 or 100 meters there, down the beach. It pulls you to the left. Mahaprabhu, when he saw the ocean, somehow he escaped out of his room. His room had no windows and only one door, and the walls are stone and they're this thick. And Mahaprabhu would stay in his room and he would chant all night. Sometimes it would become quiet. When it would become quiet, his servants would open the door and look to see if he is resting or if he is okay. And sometimes when they opened the door to look, he wasn't there. He would vanish. He would just walk right through the walls. And he would walk out into the town of Puri in the middle of the night. Sometimes they'd find him at the gate. Sometimes he'd be laying down in the cow shed later. They would find him in some unconscious condition. And on this particular evening, the devotees searched everywhere for hours, a couple of hours. They couldn't find him. Then, suddenly, this fisherman, you have seen down on the coast, the fishermen fish at night. They take their little boats, and they have a light, and they go out and they fish at night, all along the coast here in India. So one fisherman came running up the beach in a state of madness, shouting, "Hari, Hari, 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 Hari." He was just running this way, that way, kind of up and down incoherently, shouting, "Hari, Hari, Hari, Hari." So Swarup Damodar, to other people, looked like a fisherman gone crazy, gone mad, lost his sanity. Swarup Damodar recognized that this man is exhibiting the symptoms of bhava and prema. He's ecstatically chanting the holy name of Krishna, shouting, "Hari, Hari." So they approached him and calmed him down and asked him, "Have you seen Mahaprabhu?" He said, "No, no, I saw a ghost, I saw a ghost. I touched a ghost, the ghost jumped in me. A ghost has got me. Hari, Hari! The ghost has got me." And he's shouting, "Hari, Hari." So Swarup Damodar says, "No, no, that's not possible. If the ghost has the man, he doesn't shout Hari, Hari. Because if the man shout Hari, the ghost will go. The ghost cannot remain where the name of Bhagavan is present." So, no, I said, you have seen Mahaprabhu? And then the man said, no, I know what Mahaprabhu looks like. Very tall, very beautiful, fair features, gorgeous Lord. We all know what he looks like. But this thing I touched, it was something different. It was a ghost for sure. It was a ghost. Huh? It was very long. I think they measured it. Something by cubits. Means, I think Srila Prabhupada said it was 12 feet long. It was 12 feet long. And but Srila Damodar was convinced, no, he's found Mahaprabhu. He said, no, I caught this dead body in my net. It's 12 feet long. And when I touched it, a ghost grabbed me. So they said, okay, take us to where that place is. And so they went to where he had beached his boat and his nets were there. And there was Mahaprabhu. And his stretch of his body was 12 feet. That's nearly 4 meters in length. His normal height was a little over 2 meters plus, and on that time it was 4 meters in length. So no ordinary person can understand the depth of the Lord's feelings of love. And so seeing that, that very ordinary man, fisherman, thought he was inhabited by a ghost. He had the experience of Mahaprabhu, and in that state he touched him and just got himself swooped into that mood of ecstatic love. So from the very beginning, you see Krishna himself, he remembers his devotees in Vrindavan, he enters that mood. Then Baladev sees him, he contacts, he enters that mood. Subhadra sees him, she contacts, she enters that mood. Mahaprabhu comes to Puri, he sees him, he enters that mood. The fisherman, who has no regulative principles, he's probably not a member of any of the three or higher castes, maybe he's not even a Sudra. You know, along the coast there are many people, they don't even come from India. You go to the coast, you'll see Somali people are down there, Africa people, so many people are down there on the coast, because just across the ocean is Africa. On the coast, so much mixing goes on. Sometimes the people found along the coast, they're not even in the four varnas. Sudra, what is it, Vaishya, Kshatriya, or Brahman. They're not even in the caste. But let's assume, okay, he was something, a fisherman. Or that's called outcast, something like that, you see. But he came in contact, direct contact with Mahaprabhu. That's a very rare thing. And he was experiencing the love of God. And ecstatically he was chanting the holy name. The experience was such that he couldn't even himself understand what it is or what it was. And in his own simple thinking, he thought he'd been captured by a ghost. But he came in contact with that. And he wasn't even a man of the regular principles. He had no, maybe anything. Probably not even going to the temple or anything. Maybe not even allowed in the temple. Maybe so out from society because of his occupation and such. But he became a recipient of love of God because he came in contact with those who are the abode of love of God. So since those days until now, many great devotees prefer Jagannath Puri above all places for their bhajan. And their bhajan. Three places are significant for Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Vrindavan, Mayapur and Jagannath Puri. And of course we find our acharyas and great devotees living in all three of these places at different times. But this Jagannath Puri, it has its profound significance in relation to Viparlamba. And many of our devotees, our acharyas, they have chosen to live there and perform their bhajan, particularly Bhaktivinod Thakur performed his bhajan there for many years. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was born there in Jagannath Puri and also performed Viparlamba bhajan in Puri in the last days of his life. And Srila Puri Maharaj chose that place to remain for the last years of his life, mortal life. Last years of the life here in this world are the beginning years of life in eternity. That which is the end is not the end, it's the beginning. The senior years of the Vaishnava here, last years, they are the beginning years of eternity. In this world, are we even alive? Of course we're alive. Then why they call it Mrityu Loka? If this world is called Mrityu Loka, means a place of death, then maybe we're not even alive yet. Some extreme thinking. He reasons ill who say that Vaishnavas die when thou art living still and sound. The Vaishnavas die to live. Real life is on the other side. This so-called life is simply a process of death. That's all. It's a slow process of death. It may take 1 year. It may take 50 years. It may take 150 years. But the so-called life of this world is simply the process of janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi, birth, death, old age, and disease. First birth, then actually there are six transformations, how the body goes. Birth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the dearmost servant of the followers of Sri Rupa Raghunath. Thus, the bona fide disciple desires only the shelter of the dust of the lotus feet of Sri Guru. Sri Rupera Pada Doe Janaha Swarupa Se Se Sarvashva Tahina Hoi Virupa. Know that your true identity is to be a speck of dust at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa. Don't go against this identity, which is your greatest treasure. The bona fide disciple must make the order of Sri Guru his life and soul. For without following the order of Sri Guru, one cannot make progress on the path back to Godhead. If the bona fide disciple pleases Sri Guru by following his instructions, he easily achieves the supreme destination. Naguru apriyam kuryat tadita pidato piva navaman yet tadvayam napriyam hi samacharet. Never do anything unpleasant to your spiritual master. Even if you are humiliated and beaten, never disregard his words. And never act in a way that is displeasing to him. Acharyasya priyam kuryat praner api daner api karmana manasa vacha sayati paramam gatim. Do things that are pleasing to your spiritual master with your life and your wealth, with your work, with your thoughts, and with your speech. And you will go to the supreme destination. Remembering the following words of Srila Narottam Das Thakur, a bona fide disciple serves Sri Guru, always keeping his instructions within his heart. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chete Kariya Vakya Arana Kariya Mani As Sri Guru Charani Rati Ese Uttamagati Je Prasade Puri Sarva As. Fix your mind on the words emanating from the lotus mouth of Sri Guru. Place your hopes in nothing else. Affection for the Guru's lotus feet is the ultimate goal, for by his mercy, all one's aspirations are realized. The Upanishads have spoken thus, Yasya devi para bhaktir yata deve tata guru tashaitahi kahayartaha prakashanti mahatmanaha. Only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master, who is his manifestation and not different from him, are all the imports of Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. On this most holy occasion of Sri Vyasa Puja of Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Paribrajakacharya Sri Sri Madhbhakti Pramod Puri Goswami Maharaj, we remember with great affection how his appearance gave to the multitude of fallen souls the hope to one day serve the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna in pure devotion. And with great pain in our heart, we also remember his humble departure from the scope of our mortal eyes. Now when darkness has seized the world and caused a flood of ignorance to emerge, we remember his affectionate instructions never to deviate from the shelter of the holy name of Krishna. With this humble prayer, I prostrate myself at his lotus feet and pray that he will remove all my many impediments on the path of pure devotional service.